is absolutely Ashkacha, obviously. It's always Ashkacha, right? But I was going to speak about, you know, after the Shogim Shir that we gave last week, I was going to speak about Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem and concentrate more on the latter, meaning on Chilul Hashem itself. And then I read this article by Rabbi Chanoch Plotnick, who's a Rebbe in Ora Torah, in the Mishpacha magazine this past week. I read the article and I was shocked by it because it was literally exactly what I wanted to talk about. He gave the examples that I wanted to give as examples, and I was shocked. So I called him up on Motzei Shabbos and I told him, I said, I enjoyed reading your article. I was completely shocked at what you had said. It was exactly what I was looking for. And I asked for permission to use some of his examples, some of the things that he said, and he said, okay, fine. This is somewhat coming from Rabbi Plotnick, but it was an idea that I had stewing around in my head. This was literally exactly what I was thinking about. It was a pretty crazy situation. Post 9/11, how many years ago? Already almost 11 and a half years ago. I mean, 11 and something years ago. So Rabbi Plotnick went up to one of his congregants after everything had happened, and he had found out, there were some all the people that had been killed, all the amount of people that had been killed. And the reaction that person had was, he looked at the rabbi and he said to him, what's the big deal? So a bunch of non-Jews were killed. That was the reaction to what happened after 9/11. Aside from the fact that there were Jews that were killed. Aside from that, right? But the reaction of, what's the big deal? It's just a bunch of non-Jews that were killed. That's crazy. That's a crazy reaction to something that's just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And then he said that after Hurricane Sandy, he went up to one of his congregants. One of the congregants said this line: so a bunch of people lost their houses. They'll survive. They'll be fine. What kind of a person says such a thing? What in the world, what kind of a head does it take to be that dumb to say a comment like that? So a bunch of people lost their houses. A bunch of people lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're living in the street now. Not that big of a deal. They'll be okay. How does that happen? How does a person, a human being, say such a thing? After the Colorado movie shooting, they shouldn't have been in a movie anyway. After what happened in Connecticut, it was the teacher's fault. What in the world? It shows a complete lack, forget about empathy or sympathy or anything like that, it shows a complete lack of a disregard for human beings, for everything that we stand for. I mean, it's such callousness to be able to use in such a terrible matzav, such a situation, with however many people were hurt, however many people lost everything. People lost their lives as well. The amount of people, what in the world, how in the world can he not be shocked and just say and sit there and say, what can I do? How can I help? Or what? I don't know. Anything. But this is the worst reaction that you have. So I know that yeshiva is a place of higher learning. And I know the point behind yeshiva is to understand a Rashi, to ask and answer the questions and the answers of Tosfos, to try to get through what the Rishonim are trying to say, and to try to put in a little bit of an acron here and there, and to be able to spice it up and to make it a little bit exciting. And I totally understand that. But if you come out of morning seder and you have the possibility of saying such a thing, then you didn't learn a thing. All you're learning is worth absolutely nothing. And I hate to say it that way, but any Gemara you learn, if it doesn't boil down to the fact that, and now I'm a better person, you aren't a better person because you learned for 3 hours, then you didn't learn. You didn't do anything. You read a book, yeah. You added on a little bit of wisdom into your head, yeah, you might have done that. But you haven't learned. You haven't become anybody. You haven't done anything with your life. I mean, our time in yeshiva should be held. It's something that you're saying, it should have a bearing. Even if the halachos that you're learning, or the Gemara you're learning, may not have any bearing in your immediate surroundings and the rest of your day. It may not help you necessarily in that way. But that's totally missing the point. Totally missing the point. A yeshiva is a place to become a yasher, a person who is a good person. A yeshiva is a place where you look at a Gemara and you understand what the Tanaim are saying, by these people are great people. They wouldn't have made it into Gemara otherwise. otherwise, what is this trying to teach me, and how can I apply this to my daily life? Of course, most of your Seder is trying to understand their words and how it fits into the Gemara, what Rashi and Tosafot are saying, etc. Of course that's true, but there has to be a 5-minute session where you sit there and you say to yourself, what am I getting out of this today? How am I changing as a person today? These hours, how have they affected me? What have I just done to myself? Where am I going to be 10 minutes from now? That's what a yeshiva has to be. Every person should end up being a yasher, a straight person, a person who knows what he's doing throughout his life by just learning a little bit of Gemara. That's really what Bereishis stands for. The word Bereishis stands for Avos Yasher. Aleph, Beis, Tav, Yud, Shin, Reish. If you take the letters and you turn them around. Because that's what the whole Sefer Bereishis is all about. It's all about becoming a yasher, becoming a good person. And if you can't get that, you're missing out on everything. You're literally missing out on the entire point of life, let alone your learning, let alone your yeshiva career. You've totally missed out on everything. A guy goes up to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he says to him, listen, a goy is lost, and he's looking for a place to go, he's looking for his directions. Am I allowed to tell him directions? Because there's a law, lo sekhanim. You can't give a non-Jew a free gift. So maybe giving him directions is considered like a free gift. That's what he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, I only know one thing. If a guy's lost, giving directions is the right thing to do. Period. You want to ask the Kasha in Shir why this would work if Lo Sechanim works this way and whatever it is. You want to ask that in Shir and figure out how this Lo Sechanim applies in such a way, how it doesn't apply. Fine, leave that in Shir because that's something that you can learn Lundis for. But to go out in the middle of the street, you see a guy who's lost, you see a guy who's sitting there, his car is broken down and you know how to fix cars, and you walk by because you're like, oh, I don't want to give a free gift to a non-Jew. You've totally missed the point of what Lo Sechanim is trying to do. It's not trying to make you into a cruel person. Is that trying to say that you have to be a jerk when you see somebody who's lost or see somebody who doesn't have anything? That's not what the Torah is trying to do. That's not what Lo Sechanim is there for. Lo Sechanim is there to tell you a lot in certain situations. And the base measures is the way to figure out when and how and whatever it is. But if you see somebody that you can help and you don't help them, that's not following Lo Sechanim. That's just being selfish. That's just not looking at yourself and saying what kind of a person you should be. That's not a yasher, and that's not what you need in a person. That's not what you need out of a person in yeshiva. That's not it. We're the hierarchy, or we should be, of all of society. We're the people that everyone should look up to and say, they're the guys that I want to be like. Not the people that people look at and say, Nebuch, you can't really get a job. That's not the way it should be, ever. Ever. We should be the people who are always helping, who are going out and doing things. And the only reason why we're not is because we're sitting in the base medrash and learning to make the world a better place. And I understand that learning makes a place into a more kadosh, there's more kedusha in the world, and that's without a question true. There's no question about that. But to deny a person directions because of a possible lav, you're missing the point. And that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was telling him. It's not about that. It's that if you're a good person, you give directions. There's such a thing as a halachic shaila, and then there's not a shaila at all. Because it's no bearing. It's a human decency issue. That's all it is. I think that's part of the problem that people have completely missed out on when it comes to learning halacha and trying to understand how halacha applies to their daily lives. They'll learn something and they'll say to themselves, well, yeah, now I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that. They've completely missed out. They've lost what they possibly could have gotten out of their Seder. Give you another quick example. A guy comes up to me yesterday and says, I went to Dunkin' Donuts and I got a free, I went up to them and I said I wanted a donut. So I got a donut, and the guy gave me a free donut. The guy gave me a free donut. And then I also ordered an egg and cheese and croissant, and the guy ended up charging me what I think is a little bit less for the regular egg and cheese and croissant. That's what it looked like. So what should I do in that situation? Should I give it back or not? Now, let's think of this for a second. Now, granted, I will grant you that getting a free donut, did the guy have permission to give you a free donut in the first place? Okay, I give you that. Kasha, that's right there. The guy gave me and he mischarged me. Should I give him back the money? Now what's the halacha, guys? The halacha is tos akum is mutter. So if an akum makes a mistake and an anju makes a mistake and he does something that you weren't supposed to do, okay, whatever it is, you're allowed to keep it. But I want you to think to yourself for a second. If you would, I don't know, if a non-Jew would make a mistake, that would be a major mistake that would have some ramifications. Do you honestly think that the whole point of the Torah is to be able to make sure that that goy's mistake is not given back to him. You find a diamond ring worth $10,000 in a bathroom, and you're pretty sure you can figure out which non-Jew lost that diamond ring, or that person is definitely going to be looking for it. Do you really think that the point of the halacha is to put the ring and put it inside your pocket and not give it back to them ever because avedas akum is mutter to be able to keep? Do you really think that's the point of the halacha? Oh, but it's avedas akum. Avedas akum is mutter to be able to keep. I understand, but do you understand what that means? Somebody lost their diamond wedding ring worth thousands and thousands of dollars, and you have it in your pocket, and you're going to go sell it on eBay because tos akum or avedas akum is mutter. Does that make any sense to anyone? Does that hit anyone as saying there's something a little bit wrong with that? There's a case that just went on about a person who was in a tanning salon, left a $20,000 necklace. $20,000 necklace, left it in the middle of the tanning salon, hanging up somewhere. The next person went into the tanning salon, picked it up, put it in her pocket. She left. 3 months later, she was contacted to see if she had found such a jewelry, whatever it was. And they found out, yeah, 100%, she had found it. She didn't go to the front desk. She didn't say anything. She didn't do anything. She claimed she wanted to give it back. That person who lost it ended up getting it back. She had posted a reward that if anybody finds it, they will get a $3,000 reward. So this person, after 3 months later, after she was caught, so to speak, right, she said, I want my $3,000 reward. So this person said back to her, you didn't give it back to us willingly. Give it back to us because we made you give it back to us. That's the reason why you give it back. So you're not getting a $3,000 reward. So what did this person who found the necklace do? Sued her for $68,000. Damages. Emotional. Emotional damage. I thought I was going to get $3,000. I thought I was going to get this and that and the other. Is that unbelievable? That, like, you took a necklace? I mean, does that make any sense whatsoever? Again, there is a realm of halacha. And in halacha, if you ask the shayla, yes, the answer is tos akum is mutter. The answer is avedas akum is mutter. You're allowed to keep it. But do you really think that's the pshat that we want from people? That we want you to not give it back? Is that really the pshat? Think to yourselves, what would a yashar person do? What would a yashar person do? It's to go up to another person and say something to help them. There's a rav from Harrisburg that brought a few balabatim with them to be able to Bayswater to help clean up houses. So they went to this certain person that they knew. They went to this Jewish house and they started cleaning everything out. They filled garbage bag after garbage bag after garbage bag of debris and sand and all the other garbage they found inside the house just to clear out the house. There's just not enough construction crews going around. So they did it. They finished. They were exhausted. They spent hours doing it. And the next door neighbor, who's not Jewish, was looking over longingly at them. Longingly, as if, like, I could use a little bit of help also. So the Rav turned over to him and said, can we help you? Do you mind if we come into your house and we'll help you clear out some of this stuff? And he looked at him shocked, like, but I'm not Jewish. I'm not Jewish. To which the Rav said, you're still a human being. Of course we're going to help you. Now tell me, was that an issue of Lo Sechanim? Lo Sechanim, you can't give a non-Jew a free gift. Was that an issue in that situation? Yeah, technically in the base measures you can argue the point. Maybe the point could be made. Maybe yeah, maybe no. I don't know. Maybe it could be made in such a way. But is that the point of what Lo Sechanim is trying to do? Is that the way we should act? That when we see somebody who really needs our help, we turn our backs and we say, no, we're not going to do it. Again, you have to find out. So what is the halacha in such a situation? What do you do in such a situation? It's that you've got to be a yasher. That's the number one thing behind anything else. And then figure out how that fits into the realm of halacha. And that's what the Beis Medrash is for. Act as a person would, as a normal individual person would, and then try to figure out how does that work. We're not going to things that are completely against halacha, but in things like this, that's the idea. I will grant you this as well. This problem is much more serious in the firmer camps. Not in people like us. And by us, it's an issue, but it's not as big of an issue. I mean, I definitely will admit that is a problem. By my kids, who go to a firmer school than maybe I was used to growing up, right? And that in and of itself is a little bit of a shiloh when it comes to Misora. When my kids go, then I have major issues with how they treat the bus drivers, how they treat their English teachers, how they treat their janitors, and things like that. And it's a major issue. It's a major issue. The firmer you get, I don't know where it comes from. I could speculate. I could say that the attitude comes from the fact that they're taught that we're better, that Bishvili Nivra Olam applies to them, that the Tzemer Elokim and the Nefesh of every person they meet in the street is a little bit different from their Neshama, their high Neshama. It's possible. But my kids know and they know this about me and my wife, that there's no way I will ever catch them making fun of somebody just because they're not Jewish. It's not going to happen. That cannot be. You can't have that by something like this. And I would hope that that human decency applies to everybody here. That no matter how, I hate to put it this way, but how yeshivish you become, or how yeshivish you are, you still have that idea of, but he's still a person. He's still a mensch, and a mensch is of course, you have to do everything for him. You have to be a yasher to such a person. But let's be honest, we're not blameless. I think everybody here has that feeling of we're still a little bit more special, we're still like that. Just it's a crazy idea. So let's move our learning to a higher level, okay? Let's move it to a different level. Let's build up our learning to a place where we can understand what questions are asked in the Beis Medrash and what questions are just not asked. Because you're a yasher, you don't ask those types of questions. If what you're doing would be appalling to the outside world, and the outside world will look at it and say, what in the world are they doing? If it's in the realm of halacha, which is shatness, wearing a kippah, having tzitzis, something in that realm, obviously, then we say, we have a plan, we have a master plan, we have something like that. But when it involves them, and they ask us, and they're going to wonder, where in the world does that come from? And in essence, at the end of the day, it's more of a selfish thing that we're taking on for ourselves, and we're understanding the Torah to be able to help us instead of them. That better be something that, not only you ask a shaylon, a real shaylon, but you figure out, what's the right thing to do? Hopefully that comes with time by looking inside. Tamos nafshi, mavas yishar, that my soul should die with the mothers of a yasher, what it means to be a yasher and how to act as a yasher. I hope that that's what it ends up being. And what do people think of you? What do people think of you when they see you in the street? Is that what they feel or they're not? Let me ask you simply put, what do those people work in the kitchen, right, or that work as janitors, what do they think of you as a person as you're walking down the hallway? Do you know them? Do you know their names? Do you say hi to them? Do you speak to them at all? Do you help them? Or do you make it a little bit harder for them? When you throw something on the ground, do you say to yourself, well, there's a janitor here, he'll pick it up? Or do you say to yourself, I'll pick it up because I did it? When you see someone like that, if you do say thank you, and you do say hello to them, and you do pick up your own stuff so you don't make other people do it, then you're in the right path. You become a yasher. And if not, if your excuse is, I'm in the middle of learning and I'm busy, and I don't have time to pick up my own garbage, and I don't have time to say hello, and I don't have time to say thank you to the workers who are working here, then you're totally off. You're totally off. Because I will prove to you, you have a little bit of time in your day that you're not learning. Just a little bit. But you have a little bit of time where you're not learning and you're not doing anything. So work on it. Work on it. Seriously, go up to people and say to them, I want to know about you. I want to find out how you're doing. People have complained to me about attitudes from some of the janitors or the staff that are here in yeshiva. An attitude is always given to you based on the face that you give them. Always. When you go in with a frowning or a whatever face, they will go in the exact same way back to you. If you go in with a smiling face, say like, hey, what's going on? You might not totally improve their mood. They will change by almost 500% to meet you about halfway. They won't be as mean. They won't be as mean. They won't be as much of a not-so-nice person. It's not going to be that way. You just have to do it. You have to start it yourself. Go in, and that's the concept of Sefer Panim Yafos. Act in a way that's right for somebody of your stature to act. And treat them with unbelievable amounts of respect because they absolutely deserve it. And that's the way that we're supposed to act. And to end this, I'm going to go with something that Walter has been speaking to me about for a little bit. The third floor bathroom, public bathroom. Now, I know that the high school uses it as well, and it is not limited to just the Beis Medrash using it. Every week, there has been a toilet that has been stuffed up. Toilet stuffed up with either tissues or paper towels or somebody that just didn't flush. And that's absolutely disgusting. Now, guys, it's your bathroom. It's the third floor bathroom that's public, that's out there, and whatever, and the high school is allowed to use it. And I'm assuming, and I told this to Walter, and I'm assuming I'm correct, that a Beis Medrash guy would never do such a thing. Stuff a toilet full of toilet paper or paper towels and take whole rolls and throw them inside there. I would assume that a base manager guy would never do that. It's a very grade school thing to do. It's very, like, I don't know, it's second grade. That's what my little baby does. She takes rolls of toilet paper and just throws them in the toilet. I hear that. Like, if you're 1.5 years old, I don't blame you so much. I blame you a little bit. You're going to get a little patch. I'm joking. But you better believe that I don't expect that out of a base medrash guy or really a high school guy. But if you know of anyone that's doing such a thing, or if you can tell me that, yeah, it was me, I just did a stupid thing, this is just, that's beyond anything abnormal. What in the world is that? What is wrong with a person who does something like that? And constantly, it happens once a week. He texts me a picture of something on the third floor bathroom. Once a week. There is no need for that. Absolutely no need. Again, not going to put any blame on anyone, right? But, I'm joking. I'm not going to put any blame on anyone, but I do want to know if there's something going on. This is something. A yusher doesn't do such a thing. A yusher would never do such a thing. And I wouldn't even have to say it to people. That's an obvious idea. An absolutely obvious idea. Let's try to be a sharm. Let's try to be the right person here. Let's try to do the right thing and not do something silly. Let's try to understand what it means to learn and to really get around. And davening. Make sure you're there. Let's make sure that you are there. Period. And also goes with being the usher. Stop that, guys. Have a good day.